From the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building in Detroit's News Center, this is the University of Toledo's The Relevant University. Now, here's your host, Larry Burns.
Hello, and welcome to the University of Toledo's The Relevant University. I'm your host, Larry Burns, Vice President for External Affairs at the University of Toledo. And with me today is UT Assistant Athletic Director for Sports Medicine, my good friend, Brian Jones. Brian will serve as my co-host today as we delve into the world of sports medicine and the work athletic trainers do to keep athletes healthy and safe. Brian and I will discuss the role of an athletic trainer and the work they do to help athletes perform for their best. Tom Bukowiak, athletic trainer at Michigan State University for more than 20 years, will tell us about working with the competitive Spartans basketball team. Dr. Gunnar Rolandson, professor and chair of sports medicine and head team physician at Virginia Tech, will share the latest developments in his research into football concussions. And we'll chat with UT graduate Karen Kubasina, who went from being a Rocket to working as an assistant athletic trainer for the Radio City Rockettes. And it's all coming up next on the University of Toledo's The Relevant University, here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to the University of Toledo's The Relevant University on News Talk 760 WJR. And here's your host, Larry Burns.
Brian Jones is the Assistant Athletic Director for Sports Medicine at the University of Toledo. In his 14 years with the Rocket Athletics, Brian supervises the treatment and rehabilitation of student athletes in the Savage Arena Athletic Training Facility. He works directly with the men's basketball program. Brian is a native of LaPorte, Indiana, and a graduate of Ball State University. Brian was recently inducted into the university's Cardinal Sports Medicine Society Ring of Honor at the National Athletic Trainers Association's convention in New Orleans. Brian works with athletes and programs, as well as the academic side of the house, with the university to improve sports medicine education and training. And I'm delighted to have Brian Jones next to me tonight. And Brian, welcome.
Thank you, Larry. I really appreciate the opportunity to come share with your audience here a little bit about the athletic world of medicine.
Well, one of the things that you see, particularly in high school, I remember when I was at Austin Catholic Prep back in the 70s, I guess I really wasn't a trainer. I was everything from a water boy to something. But high schools have athletic trainers and things of that nature. And can you share with our listeners the role, and you can, if you can talk high school, college, or pros, about athletic trainers? What is the main role?
Well, I think you hit it on the head exactly how the definition, unfortunately, that the public sees about our profession to this day. We've really done a good job, I think, over the years, and we can still do better of educating the public on the word trainer. Unfortunately, we've kind of tried to move away from it as a profession and really encompass the world of athletic training. Because really what that is it's a job that encompasses, I think, an all-consuming athletic background and as well as medicine. You know, we collaborate with physicians to really optimize the activity and participation of our patients. Those patients could be clients in the athletic setting, whether they're patients, and we'll talk a little bit about those different backgrounds and where our profession works, whether it be with the military or in the corporate world. But really, we really focus in on the prevention, the diagnosis, and working with acute and chronic and emergency care of our student athletes, and really working in and making sure that we can deliver optimal performance, no matter what type of athlete we deal with.
Great, from golf to football, right?
That's exactly it. And like I said, you will be talking with several of my colleagues across the country that I see that are experiencing. That's exactly it. One of my former assistants is working with the General Motors Corporation as an athletic trainer. So wow. You see us in all different aspects, and I think that's really been a good benefit for our program.
Excellent. Now, what in today's world, it's football season, so you hear and read most about football injuries. But what are some of the most common injuries that college athletes have?
You know, unfortunately, I'd love to be able to answer that question, Larry, with a one-word answer, but I think the biggest thing that we see today, obviously being football season, there is no right answer for that. And I see, you know, in the world of football, you're going to see a lot more of acute injuries, your typical muscle sprains, strains, et cetera. But then we move into the world of whether we're talking golf or swimming or a cross-country student-athlete, we're dealing with more of a chronic type, an overuse type of injury. But I think really the areas that we see right now and focusing the most attention on are what I consider those hot topic injuries. Some of it, like I said, we'll be discussing a bit later, but whether it be concussions or sudden cardiac death in students or heat illness, all those are have become a really major issue for our profession. So, you know, that being said, I think a few years ago, the topic of ACL ruptures was a very hot topic for our females. And I think our profession, a lot of research, which was done at our own University of Toledo, has really benefited. And we've seen a decrease in some of those injuries. So with the focus and the continued population really participating in athletics, we've seen a change on those type of injuries. And really, we're trying to do our best to stay on the front end of those in prevention.
Now, you're still a young man, of course, but you've been in the business a while. And what are some of the major changes that have you've seen and experienced in your career from when you started to what's going on today?
You know, I think the biggest thing, and by the way, thank you for the young man statement. I just had my last birthday, and I'm not having any more. But no, I think the focus has been, from the NCAA's perspective, to change the way we look at the world of athletics. And that focus has been on student-athlete welfare. You know, we really try our best to make sure that we, not only at the University of Toledo, but across the country, are making sure that we, as an athletic training profession, are doing our best to protect our student athletes. And I think that comes from, and it can be a lot of said, is some of the changes that the NCAA has made and the recent changes as such as, you know, back in the day, the athletic trainer used to report to the head coach. And when the head coach got fired, the athletic trainer got fired. And that's not the case anymore. We really are starting to work our way in, and obviously we've got a tremendous amount of support from our administration and an unbelievable relationship with our hospital at the University of Toledo Medical Center. And we've been able to do those things where we are focused in on what's best for our student athletes, not to help a coach win. And obviously we want to do that, and we want to put our athletes out there, and we want to be competitive. There's no more people that want to be competitive than us. So we're going to try to do our best to push our kids forward. But, you know, hopefully in the end, we're going to, you know, do what we need to do to make sure we're providing the best care we can.
Now, getting back to UT and academics, I know that you're involved as an instructor, a mentor. If somebody is listening that is interested in going to UT and also in athletic training, what advice do you have for them?
Well, let me tell you, we're really excited about our program and where it's going. We've got an unbelievable academic staff, and I would really encourage them to work and reach out to the athletic trainers that are working at their high schools, clinics, wherever it might be, and start young and get an interest in the profession, and then reach out to programs such as ours at the University of Toledo. And hopefully that will you know, gain them a significant leg up as they continue through their career.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you. That's Brian Jones, Assistant Athletic Director for Sports Medicine at the University of Toledo, and he's going to stick around for the rest of the show, so that'll be great. And coming up next, the Michigan State Spartans have earned an NCAA national championship. We all know that. Six Big Ten championships and made it to six Final Fours in the recent history under their great coach, Tom Izzo. But he doesn't do it alone. The athletic training team is an important component and a member of that team for more than 20 years. Tom Mikowiak will share the efforts to keep the players healthy and in the game when the University of Toledo's The Relevant University continues here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, News Talk 760 WJR.
This is the University of Toledo's The Relevant University on News Talk 760 WJR with your host, Larry Burns.
Tom Mikowiak has been a member of the Michigan State University athletic training staff since August of 1987. For more than 20 years, he has served as the full-time staff athletic trainer with the Spartans men's basketball and women's golf programs. Recently, he is taking a more active role in the academic program at the university, working with students training for sports medicine careers. He is an adjunct instructor in the Department of Kinesiology at MSU. Tom received his undergraduate degree from Ball State University, same as my co-host Brian Jones, a good Mac school, and holds a master's and doctorate degrees from MSU. Tom, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And your old friend Brian Jones is with me, so say hello to him.
Awesome. How you doing, Brian?
Wonderful, Tom. It's nice to have a Spartan on the line with us today.
Appreciate it very much.
Now, Tom, serving in your role and your capacity at a program as successful and as well-known and as dynamic as MSU in the basketball program, what's that experience been like for you, particularly the last decade or so?
Well, it's been just unbelievable, as you can imagine. I mean, coming from where I was to working at the University of Detroit for 6 years and kind of getting prepared for this level, to come to Michigan State was even a greater challenge than I anticipated. But the experiences that I've had last decade, last 2 decades, they said with Coach Izzo and with Coach Heathcote prior to it, just very, very difficult to explain, but it's just a true honor. And like I said, the experience was just overwhelming on what I've seen, what I've experienced, the people I've met throughout the university and the community and the team itself are just truly amazing.
And your program, the Spartan basketball program, you play from now, you know, October and into March most years. Is there a different approach that you take now that the players play for such a long season to keep them healthy?
Definitely is. Over the years, I became a little bit more experienced on conversing with various people throughout the professional leagues, throughout various colleges within the Big Ten and nationally, on how do you prevent injuries from breaking down mid-year or at the end of the year that you still are strong enough in March and April that you were pretty much in August and September. So we kind of break it down in three different phases. As you know, we have our off-season phase, the preseason phase, and then season. We kind of take that preseason phase and kind of really make sure we do some initial screening on the players to see if they have any weaknesses, any inhibitions, their muscles are tight, and kind of establish a program throughout the year on various exercises that they can do to maintain what they've really achieved over the summertime. A lot of them will get some acute injuries, but the chronic ones that Brian will be aware of really seems to catch most of the athletes in these long six-month programs and seasons. So you have to make sure you just kind of stay on them to stay ahead of the game a little bit. And also, like, we kind of focus on their lifestyle changes, too, not just exercises, on how important the rest and recovery is, on the diet, on the hydration, on all the little nuances that will get them through various parts of their life. So it's kind of an encompassing of a, you know, holistic type of approach.
Absolutely.
And, it's fortunate, yeah, with our osteopathic school that we see a lot of dysfunctions in bodies, so we kind of make sure we communicate with the athletes that if they have an issue, they let it to us, you know, at least inform it that they have a problem before it becomes major. A lot of athletes like to kind of just hold on to the injury, the pain, not tell anybody. We're very good at making sure they communicate with us and see if there's a difference so we can attack it before it becomes worse.
Tom, you know, as kind of a follow-up to that, you and I obviously spent years working together as a mentor and one of my proud mentors. But kind of beyond that, you know, my world of college basketball at the Division I level obviously is probably going to be a little bit similar but at the same time different. What in your mind would you say and tell our listeners out there, you know, obviously University of Toledo, a mid-major program, and a program that such as yours at Michigan State that's been around and is expected to, you know, be in the postseason every year, what would you say would be some of maybe the major differences between the struggles and the challenges that you would face on a daily basis and maybe something that I would face?
Well, I appreciate that, Brian. Thank you for the accolades for Michigan State, and I think that's all the coaching staff that they've been able to perform over the years and build the program to the level it is. But I think the biggest key for us, fortunately, as you know, is the resources at our hands at a Big Ten institution and our valuable sports medicine staff, which has a just an unbelievable amount of numbers of references and resources that we can use to communicate with, to bounce ideas off of, to you know, follow up if we have initial injuries. And fortunately, people across the country, too, if there are issues that we have that seem to not be working with our techniques, our philosophies, that we can reach out to various communities across the country. So I think the resources are the biggest one, Brian, as far as what we have at our fingertips. And again, the aggression. I mean, with a staff of our size, I can focus just on basketball alone, and you maximize 15 players. So if they have nuances or issues, I think it lets me stay ahead because I can maximize the time with them. I could maximize their weaknesses and strengths by getting them one-on-one, and my time is not pulled away somewhere else. To me, I think that's just probably one of the best differences, but all of us have, you know, the resources and how we use it. And then you sell the past history to the players. You know, they come in understanding the level that coach has already, you know, achieved, and you tell them that they want to be part of that history and part of that achievement to create new memories, new experiences. So I think they buy in, too, and it's a sell into the player that they need to see this is not high school anymore. It's a different level, and the expectations are higher and the time commitment is higher. So it's all of a building block from their freshman year to the senior year.
We're talking with Tom Mikowiak from MSU, men's basketball athletic trainer, head athletic trainer. And And Tom, for parents listening to the show, what are some of the differences in your role working with a basketball player versus a football player, and what are some of the things that you see that are major differences in those two sports?
Well, I think the biggest key is the length of the season and the contact of the sports itself. I mean, football takes an abusive amount of pounding on their bodies week in and week out, and the injuries are definitely of a high magnitude. Basketball may have those acute injuries, but a lot of them are more of a chronic nature because all they do a lot of times now is play 12 months a year the same sport. So the muscles may get weak in certain areas. They may be repetitive, overused, and the recovery is so important. Keeping your athletes healthy as far as rest and giving some time off from activity. There's not a bad thing of sometimes that's a bad word to take time off and to rest. But we do a lot of cross training, I think, which is real important. And again, I think the seasonal part of it is important. Now, when you have to rev up what you're doing, that you have a downtime, a recovery time, even though you're participating in your sport, but you don't do it at a high intense level. So we always talk about there's a frequency and intensity, a duration part of that activity, and you can vary them throughout the years to make sure you're not on all three cylinders going high at all times. But I think that's the biggest part. And like I said, football in itself is just a beast with what happens out there to the bodies and how much contact they will get. So fortunately, I have a few of those, but the majority of it's more of an overuse situation long term. And like I said, they are there in both sports, but there's nothing compared to that sport.
You know, Larry, in the intro and in our piece right before we had you on the air, Larry and I just spoke time and talk about the athletic training profession in general, and I think you hit on it. You know, Larry asked about parents. I think the protection that we do for our kids is really a key, and I think you and I are both, and I learned from the best with you guys, is that we're really there to protect the student athlete's health and well-being. And that's really the bottom line. You know, our coaches don't like to hear that, but I know you probably do talk when you talk with recruits' parents. I know my recruits' parents like to hear that, hey, I'm going to protect your kid. So, yeah, I want them to play college basketball or college athletics. But our number one interest is to protecting your son or daughter's, health and well-being. And I think that speaks tremendous amounts of volumes for our profession.
Oh, I agree totally with that, Brian. I mean, we sell our players that's not just for here, but when they leave. And that's a difficult one for coaches. They're living at that moment. But, I mean, that's what we are, athletic training. We take a little bit of that because that's where we put ourselves in position. But they need to walk and exist life and have a good, healthy life, 60, 70 years from now. So I think that's a big one that not a lot of athletes or not a lot of people in general can see past a year short term. We're more of a long-term guidance. And I think the key is listen to your son or daughter and what they say about their bodies. I think a lot of them are so tuned into it, but we forget that they may not be tuned in, so we kind of neglect when they do speak to us. But hear what they say, understand what they say, and just kind of follow a common sense kind of guide as you take them through their seasons and realize there are going to be good days and bad days and days that they need to recover. So I think a lot of it is communication, understanding what the sport itself entails, and realizing that today will be good today, but they still have to move on and have a normal, healthy life, years from now.
Yeah, and there's so many, you mentioned earlier about basketball, that the season is almost year-long, and even for young people, be it hockey or be it not football as much, but basketball, if they're 12, 13, 14, and they are excelling, they play all year, and sometimes parents, I think, forget that, boy, they're a kid.
Yeah.
Let them have a break.
Absolutely. I think physical and mental you need to be aware of, too. I mean, the mental challenges are going at a high level year-round on any human being. If it's a professional football player, a professional basketball player, or somebody down the youth soccer leagues, there's always a challenge of that we forget to see the physical side, but the mental change. They need to enjoy what they're doing. They need to have a break of action. They need to have less stress and maybe less structure at times. And again, I think that I'm always big on doing various sports, as Brian probably is, that if you're a basketball player, play soccer. If you're a soccer player, try another sport. It does also the muscle groups, but you are training cardiovascular, which is what the bottom line is. Mm-hmm. But you are really attaining the skill levels that you need at a higher level just from different muscle functions. And I think that's always very important to remember.
Great. Well, Tom, thank you very much for joining us, and have a great season. Go Spartans.
Great. I appreciate that very much.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
That was Tom Okoyak, who has served as the basketball athletic trainer at the Michigan State University for more than 20 years. And coming up next, preventing and treating injuries is a main focus of athletic trainers across the world. At Virginia Tech, Dr. Gunnar Brolinson is gathering valuable knowledge from the Hokie football players to study football concussions. We'll hear about this research when the University of Toledo's The Relevant University continues. Here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to the University of Toledo's The Relevant University on News Talk 760 WJR. Tonight's program is brought to you by the University of Toledo. And once again, your host, Larry Burns.
Dr. Gunnar Brolinson is professor and discipline chair for sports medicine at Virginia College of Osteopathic Medicine, where he also serves as associate dean for clinical research. He is the head team physician at Virginia Tech University. Dr. Brolinson has been recognized for his research into football concussions and is a frequent presenter at national sports medicine meetings. He has also worked with Olympic athletes as the head team physician for the freestyle ski team in the 2006 Winter Olympic Games in Torino, Italy, and was medical director of the Performance Services Center at the 2010 Winter Games in Vancouver, British Columbia. He's also familiar with Toledo, Ohio. Gunnar previously served for more than 10 years as co-director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine Fellowship Training Program at Toledo Hospital and was team physician for the Toledo Rockets for 16 years. Gunnar, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Larry and Brian. It's great to be with you guys today and chit-chat a little bit about sports medicine and also talk a little bit about my old stomping grounds there in Toledo.
Absolutely. I remember it well. You and Roger Cruz were quite a team.
You know, Larry, just to give you a little bit of insight, Gunnar, I don't want to date you here, but Gunnar was the head team physician for my wife all 4 years of college basketball. So I'm not sure if that dates my wife or dates Gunnar.
Right. And you dated your wife and then married her. Yes.
She's a lot of dates going on.
Right, that's exactly it.
She is in our Hall of Fame as a basketball player and a good friend. Dr. Brolinson, you know, I read a lot as a sports fan and just an interested party about, particularly during football season, about concussions. And it just seems almost every weekend something else is in either USA Today, Sports Illustrated, you name it. And you hear a lot about this injury. How serious are concussions in football these days?
Well, Larry, first of all, you've named a couple of my favorite medical journals there, USA Today and Sports Illustrated.
Right. Experts, right?
Yeah, and you're absolutely correct. There's been a huge uptick in interest in this phenomenon of mild traumatic brain injury in sports or sports-related concussion. You hear lots of terms that are used to describe this phenomenon, but it's one of those kind of things that I'd have to tell you that I'm so happy that there's been a real raised awareness about the potential clinical effect of concussion for young athletes, and of course as athletes get older and move through the ranks into high school, collegiate, and sometimes into professional sports. So I think that the increased awareness has been extremely important. I think I saw a statistic from the Centers for Disease Control or the CDC in Atlanta that there's been about a 60% increase in the diagnosis of concussion. And I think what that means is not that we're having more concussions, but there's been better recognition of this phenomenon of concussion by parents, by athletes, and by coaches, and also better recognition in terms of the clinical diagnosis of concussion by practicing physicians. So again, I don't think that all of a sudden there's a concussion epidemic. I think that probably the concussion rates, if you look at the pure rates of concussion, are about the same that they've always been. But because of the increased awareness, we've become much better at picking these up and diagnosing them and then treating them much more appropriately. And ultimately, that's the most important thing. It's not the fact that somebody's had a concussion, but that the fact that it gets diagnosed, it gets appropriately worked up, and then appropriately treated.
Yeah, Gunnar, I think, you know, you hit it right on the head, and obviously, you know, you're seeing it at all different levels, but you and I have discussed this in the past. Would you mind telling your audience a little bit, obviously, under your direction there at Virginia Tech, you were one of the first colleges to put in place the HIT system, which is that head impact telemetry system in your helmet, student-athletes' helmets to monitor the head impact. Can you tell us a little bit about that research and really what that research has allowed you guys at Virginia Tech to kind of help with the diagnosis treatment plans with concussions?
Well, Brian, thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about this just a little bit, because it's been a really exciting program for us, as you mentioned, the HITS system or Head Impact Telemetry System. Briefly, way back in 2003, we actually started this study, and I promise you back then, even though people talked a little bit about concussion, really not that many people cared much about it. And so initially, interestingly enough, given all the interest that's generated today, it was extremely difficult for us to get the study funded. In fact, we ultimately had to fund it internally between the Virginia Tech Sports Medicine Department, the Virginia College of Osteopathic Medicine Research Department, and the School of Biomedical Engineering here at Virginia Tech. So we all put in some money to start funding the project. But what it consists of is we started out with six small accelerometers that were placed into the top part of the players' helmets. And those six small accelerometers are very similar to what is seen in cars today that help with various crash test systems. For example, when you stop suddenly and your seatbelts tighten up, all of those kinds of things that start to happen, and airbags that go off and various safety systems that are deployed because of these small accelerometers. Well, the unique thing that we were able to do, along with the company that actually manufactured that first set of sensors for us, is called Simbex up in New Hampshire, is to install those accelerometer arrays in players' helmets. And then that information was transmitted via a small antenna wirelessly to the sideline. So we had a small laptop computer on the sideline that would virtually instantaneously read out the head accelerations that our players were experiencing. So we could see the direction of the blow and the magnitude of the blow. And so for the first time ever, we were able to record in real time head accelerations and concussions as they were occurring on the field. And for me as a clinician, that was really exciting because, you know, what, as you know, Brian, one of the things we really need help with is, okay, so a player comes to the sideline and they've got a variety of symptoms. They've got a little headache, they're maybe a little confused, they're dizzy, they're lightheaded, and you're in an early season game, and you're wondering, okay, is this somebody that has a concussion? Do they have a mild heat illness? I mean, there are any number of things that could produce that kind of a scenario. So it makes it sometimes very difficult to make the diagnosis of concussion. So having an additional tool on the sideline that would allow me to assess, well, gee whiz, you know, somebody's coming in, they've got those symptoms, and they've only got a 30 G head acceleration, which may sound like a lot, but we know that that really isn't a whole lot. By 30 G's, that's, I think everybody knows what one gravity is. So when you talk about acceleration, so 30 G's would be 30 times the force of gravity. But what we find is the risk of concussion really starts to go up substantially around 90 to 100 G acceleration. So if that's a 30 G acceleration, then I'm more likely to make an alternate diagnosis, as opposed to if I have a player has 100 or 120 G acceleration, then I'm much more concerned about the possibility of a concussion given those symptoms that the athlete might be exhibiting.
Sure. And now, Larry, or just to follow up, Larry and I were discussing earlier, you know, about concussions, and I think he just hit on it. You're very, very fortunate, Gunnar, at Virginia Tech to be able to have a system like this. Obviously, you're talking with a parent and of a high school student athlete at in Blacksburg there, or a parent of a high school student athlete in Sylvania, Ohio, where you used to call your home. What do you say to that parent and in the world of concussions that says, you know, is it that serious, and what do we really need to do to protect our young kids these days in this area of concussion?
Well, certainly one of the things that we're finding out is that it's probably more serious than we used to think it was. So the whole idea, and you almost hate to use the word mild traumatic brain injury, and maybe a better way to think of it would just be it's just a traumatic brain injury. Instead of mild traumatic brain injury, connotes something that may not have any significant long-term sequela. And Brian, as you know, to be perfectly honest, probably somebody who has one, two, or even three mild, you know, traumatic brain injuries or sports-related concussions, the likelihood of any kind of significant or serious sequela down the road is pretty, very, very, very minimal. However, when people start to accumulate more concussions than that, some of the things that we're starting to be concerned about are issues with learning disabilities, depression, social isolation. There have been some reports of higher incidence of substance abuse in people that have had multiple concussions, difficulty in holding jobs. There have been reported things in the literature related to what's called CTE, or chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and I hate to use big $64 words like that, but essentially what that means is, and for folks that have followed boxing for many, many years, this was actually first reported in boxing many years ago and used to be referred to as the punch drunk syndrome. Mm-hmm. That's the big concern, and that's kind of the unanswered question that we really can't get to, because right now there's no blood test for this. There's no way to really test for it. It's a finding that occurs on autopsy.
Gunnar, I want to thank you very much for being on the show. That's Dr. Gunnar Brolinson, who's professor and chair of sports medicine at Virginia College of Osteopathic Medicine and head team physician at Virginia Tech, who researches football concussions, among other wonderful work. Coming up next, she went from being a rocket to working with the Radio City Rockettes. University of Toledo graduate Karen Kubasina is now an assistant athletic trainer for the Rockettes Dance Company. We'll hear more about how she is applying her athletic training to the performing arts when the University of Toledo's The Relevant University continues. Here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to the University of Toledo's The Relevant University on News Talk 760 WJR. Tonight's program is sponsored by the University of Toledo. And here's your host, Larry Burns.
Karen Kubasina is a graduate of the University of Toledo's athletic training program with a bachelor's degree in exercise science. She also recently completed the physical therapy doctorate program at Long Island University. Karen is using her sports medicine training in a unique way as an athletic trainer for the Radio City Rockettes. In her third season, Karen provides injury care, prevention, rehabilitation services to all of the performers. With 80 Rockettes, 40 chorus people, and addressing the needs of the entire crew, Karen is part of a team of four trainers that help make sure, as they say, the show goes on. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
We're very proud of you here at UT, and you're on to the big city, as they say. And I'm joined by someone you know well, Brian Jones. Brian, say hi to Karen.
Karen, welcome. Really appreciate you taking time today to speak with us in the world of athletic medicine and talk about your very unique role in New York.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Now, most people think about athletic trainers working with football teams, basketball, baseball teams. We had some previous guests to talk about that. And so you working with the Rockettes, how is that different than what you've done with traditional sports teams?
Well, actually, it's not entirely too different. They're still highly athletic individuals that get injured. They require treatment, rehabilitation, and we even tape a lot. The difference with taping is that the dancers require less restriction because they have to move a lot. And also, as an athletic trainer taping, you have to be able to camouflage the tape with the costumes and also the stage lighting because you can't let it show through. So
right.
That's another difference. Another difference is that a tight muscle for a traditional athlete is not the same as a tight muscle for a dancer. I've learned that pretty quickly. And another difference is the shoes. The dancers wear, especially in our show, they wear a lot of different types of shoes, whether they're flats, heels. We don't do barefoot, but sometimes in rehearsals they do. And so that's really important to know about what kind of shoes they were wearing when they got injured and also what kind of shoes they're wearing in performances or rehearsals afterwards so that we can provide adequate support.
Right, Karen, you know, obviously, I know a little bit about your background and your history, but, you know, I know you're a little bit of a high school athlete, but maybe if you'll tell our listeners a little bit what kind of sparked your initial interest in sports medicine, how you chose the University of Toledo, and then kind of how that's progressed through your career.
Oh, sure. Well, in high school, I played a lot of softball and volleyball, and, of course, I got injured a couple of times, and the person that helped me was an athletic trainer, and that's how I got introduced to sports medicine and athletic training. And I knew I loved sports and I knew I wanted to go into something medical. And so athletic training seemed like the perfect thing. I chose the University of Toledo because the second I got on campus, I fell in love with the campus. And I was very impressed with the athletic training program and was very eager to start and get in the program. I'm just still amazed at the wonderful field of athletic training and how wide our breadth of knowledge is and how much we can help athletes.
Excellent. We're talking with Karen Kubasina, a UT graduate, who is the athletic trainer at the Radio City for the Radio City Rockettes, getting ready for a big season. I think the holiday season is one of your biggest seasons.
Yes.
And so how did you decide or what route took you from being an athletic trainer for sports to entertainment such as dancing?
Well, I still do some coverages around the city for different athletic events, but I pursued the performing arts because I've always loved the performing arts. I grew up doing a lot of music performance, but I never danced. So I've had to challenge myself and learn a lot about dance to be on the same page with the performers because they come in and they say, you know, it hurts when I releve or plie or something like that. And so I've come a long way because I know what that means now.
Different than those student athletes you and I dealt with those years in basketball, huh, Karen?
Oh, yeah, totally different.
So, Karen, if somebody's listening to this driving around Detroit or Toledo or Chicago and they're a parent and they have a child who loves sports and is interested maybe in this field, what advice do you have to either parents or young people about pursuing athletic training for a career?
Oh, I think it's an excellent career choice, especially if you have a passion for people, passion for athletics, and also just if you want to get into the medical field. We learn a lot and have a lot of knowledge and are able to do things on the fly. And so it's a very exciting profession. And I say if any children are wanting to pursue it, to go ahead and do it because it's really rewarding and really great.
Karen, we talked a little bit about at the start of the program about the University of Toledo and our program. And one of the things that Larry and I kind of ran out of time was talking a little bit about our athletic training program in general. And how much it's really excelled through the years. Can you talk a little bit about your role now and how you use what you gained here as a student and through your clinical experiences at the University of Toledo in your current role?
Oh, absolutely. I apply the education I received at UT a lot in my everyday practice. UT prepared me with a great education and a mindset to follow my dreams. Without the education I received at UT, I wouldn't be where I am today. And it also helped me immensely with my doctorate of physical therapy because the two professions parallel a lot. And so I felt more prepared than some others in going into that program.
Karen, do you travel much with the Rockettes?
No, actually I'm just a seasonal employee. So okay. I start at the end of September when they start their rehearsals and I go through January.
All right. And then they're on the road an awful lot, aren't they?
Yeah, they do various things throughout the year, but most of them are around for the Christmas season.
Okay, yeah, I know they've been to Detroit historically during the holiday season at the Fox Theater, which isn't too far from where we are now.
Well, I got to tell you, Karen, you know, obviously you've been one of my definitely best students we've had through the years. Larry and I were joking on the way up here that I've never been to New York as much as and I know you keep asking, but that UT connection in New York is definitely something we're very proud of, not only from an athletic training perspective, but as an institution. So we really appreciate everything you've done and continue to kind of promote the university there in the Big Apple.
Thank you so much.
That's Karen Kubasina, a UT graduate who is an assistant athletic trainer for the Radio City Rockettes. And thank you for joining us on The Relevant University. I'm your host, Larry Burns, Vice President for External Affairs at the University of Toledo. I want to thank Brian Jones. Brian, thank you.
Larry, thank you very much for the opportunity. We had a great day.
Yeah, it was fun and very worthwhile. The University of Toledo is proud to sponsor this program. I want to thank Tobin Klinger, who's helping us with this as he always does. Tobin, thank you. For more information on The Relevant University, you can visit us at www.utoledo.edu/The Relevant University, or simply email me, lawrence.burns2@utoledo.edu. And please join us again next time on Tuesday, November 29th at 7 p.m. for more discussion on the role of colleges and universities in their communities on the University of Toledo's The Relevant University, right here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, News Talk 760 WJR.